All right, Mosai, good morning. Good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Dalid. We are in Mirat Hashem picking up on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. And we are picking up three lines up from the bottom. So remember again, yesterday the Gemara introduced the Braisa. Where the Gemara discussed the idea that if a person, A, Gord, B, right? We had yesterday a lot of A, B, and C yesterday. So remember we had A, Gord, B, and then ultimately again, so B had the ability to collect damages from the ox of A, and Lamaisa again, before B had an opportunity to go ahead and seize the ox, so A had a different creditor, and A's creditor went ahead and seized the ox. So we discussed, the Gemara was discussing the Braisa, discussed the ramifications ultimately of that seizure, and the Gemara seemed to indicate that Lamaisa B had the ability to go ahead and seize the ox from the creditors of A, even though it's quite possible that the creditors had a prior claim to the actual nezek. So the Gemara now picks up with that. Kidmu ba'al chovos. Three lines are from the bottom middle of the line. So kidmu ba'al chovos v'igbiu. So if the ba'al chovos, if the creditors went ahead and seized the animal of A before B had the ability to do so, bein chav at shelo hizik, bein hizik at shelo chav, no matter what the chronological order of events were, meaning, in other words, whether the loan or the debt occurred before the damages, or the damages occurred before the loan, the halacha is lo asav lo klum. Ultimately, again, the seizure of the creditors is insignificant. So we'll say this seems to be an incredible chiddush. What the Gemara seems to be saying is the following. So again, imagine the following case. A damages B, and A also happens to owe C money. So now what happens? So B would normally collect his damages from the animal of A. C instead seized A's animal in order to satisfy his debt. So now the Gemara says that B has the ability to go ahead and seize the animal from C. And that is true no matter what the chronological order of events were. In other words, even if C's debt preceded A's damage to B, nevertheless, B has the ability to go and seize the animal from C, which I must say seems to fly in the face of everything we've ever learned, because again, normally, when it comes to seizure of property, so chronology is exceptionally important. Whoever has the first claim usually has their first rights of seizure. Yet here the halacha seems to be that B, the damaged party, has the ability to seize A's animal, even if C's claim came prior to B's. So the Gemara says the following. Why the fish shalim el magufo? Because ultimately, again, B's claim is only payable from the body of the animal itself, from the guf of the damaging animal, and therefore it would appear, therefore, that B's claim trumps everything else. So bishlama hizik achalochav nizakin kadmu. So I understand that this is true of damages occurred before the death, because then again, B's claim precedes C. Aval chav achalo hizik. But at the end of the day, if lamaisa the debt preceded the damages, then Baal Chov Kadim. Then I don't understand the creditor should have a stronger claim, not really stronger, a prior claim, and therefore when C seizes the animal from A to satisfy the debt that existed before the damage to B, so C's seizure should be effective. And I will say, in reality, even if Lamaisa, the damages preceded the debt, if Halacha Lamaisa, the creditor seized the animal, if C seized the animal before B did, then Lamaisa, again, the seizure should be effective. We'll say, now, what the Gemara is touching on over here is the following. Take a look at Rashi. Vapilu hizik at shalochav. Rashi says, Nami balchov kadim litfisa. This reflects another interesting idea, which is the following. If you have multiple creditors, we'll call them. Now, again, under normal circumstances, the halacha is that we satisfy the debts in chronological order in which they were accrued. However, if one of the Baalei Chov, if one of the creditors seized property from the debtor, we don't extract seized property. In other words, even though he might have jumped his turn in terms of getting paid off, once you seize property, we allow it to remain with you. So also, see, the amazing part that Gemara is pointing out over here is that Lamaisa, in this case over here, that's exactly what's happening. So C, let's assume for a moment that the damage to B occurred before the debt to C. So now what we're saying is that Lamaisa, B has the ability to go ahead and seize the animal no matter what the chronology, which I will say is quite dramatic given the fact that even if C seized the property, it sounds like we're extracting it from C in order to give it to B. We don't normally do that. Shema mina, Baal Chov Mo'ucha Shekadam Agava, Ma Shegava Lo Gava. So we'll say it would appear based on this that if a later creditor, meaning if a chronologically later creditor, went ahead and seized property, what he seized ultimately again is not collectible, and we could extract that property from him in order to pay an earlier creditor. To which the Gemara says, "Lo, liolam im lochamasha gava gava." In reality, that's not true. Under normal circumstances, when a creditor seizes property from the debtor, even if there are other creditors who chronologically preceded this creditor's claim, we don't extract seized property from the creditor. But this case is different because the Gemara says, the other way, the Chamasha Gava Gava, the Shiny Awesome, the Amrle Ilu Gava, Hava Lomina, Hava Gabi, because I will say, B is able to see to A, say to A, had the animal been with you, would I not have collected from it? The Haitura de Askin Mine Mishtalamna, because it's from the ox that damaged me that I should have the ability to recapture payment. So, what's the Gemara suggesting over here is the following. Under normal circumstances, the halacha is that if you have multiple creditors, even if a latter creditor seized property before an earlier creditor's debt is satisfied, we don't extract property. The difference over here, Abosai, is that this is not just a matter of payment, or matter of payment. In this case over here, payment dafka comes from the damaging animal. So in that sense, Abosai, when A has essentially two debts, one is to C, who's stam a creditor, and one is to B, who is a damaged party, who's A's animal damaged. So in this case, the Gemara says that B has a greater claim against the animal. Why? Why? Because the damage mamish happened to him through this animal, and therefore again, B gets to receive the animal to satisfy his debt, and the novelty is what? Even if C's claim preceded B's. Fine. So we'll say if you have an ox that was worth 200 zuz, that gored another ox that was worth 200 zuz, okay. V'chava bo b'chamishim zuz. And I will say ultimately again, caused damages of 50 zuz. So the Gemara says, v'shavach v'amad al arba me'el zuz. So we'll say, listen to this. So short worth 200, gores a shore worth 200. And what happens? He caused 50 zuz worth of damage in the injured animal. But interestingly enough, the shavach, the price of a shore appreciated. So Rashi says, v'shavach nizak, the damaged shore appreciated, and then was worth 400 zuz. She'omole lo heziko, hayo'omeid ashmona meo zuz. Now, Bosai, had the shore not been injured, it would have appreciated to what? 800 zuz. So now that it was injured, it only appreciated to 400 zuz. Had it not been injured, it would appreciate to 800 zuz. So what's the halacha? So no sin kishas hanezek. So we'll say, so the halacha is that the damager has to pay damages in accordance with what? In accordance with damages at the time that damage occurred. We'll say, what we're going to see is the following. When it comes to the laws of damages, there are two different time periods in which you could potentially assess damage. You could assess damage at the time that damage is done, or you could assess damage as what's called Shas HaMadas Beis, or Shas HaMadas Din, at the time when the matter becomes before Beis Din for adjudication purposes. What the Gemara suggests over here is the following. So Lamaisa now, we'll call A injures B. So A is worth 200, B is worth 200. Then what happens? So B suffers, so B is damaged to the point where now, again, it loses 50 zuz of its value. But then what happens? By the time they get to Beis Din, so B's appreciated to 400 zuz. The value of B is 400 zuz. So we'll say, so when do we assess damages? So the Gemara says we assess damages based on valuations at the time the damage occurred. In other words, so for this case, we'll say, you will assess the damage at the lower value of the shor, not at the appreciated value of the shor. So the Gemara says that's one case. Next case, kichesh. What happens if the damaged party shor now depreciates? So what happens if it depreciates? So what's the halacha? Kishas ha'amada badin. So I'll say if it depreciates, then ultimately again we evaluate the damage based on the time in which the matter is heard before Beis Din. Look at Rashi. Kichesh hanizak machmas hamaka. So we'll say, so Rashi adds in a little bit of editorial comment, which we'll discuss here later on in the Gemara. So let's say the damaged animal continues to depreciate as a result of the injury. V'nira achshav hezeko godol yose mitchilas b'shas hanezek. So we'll say, so remember, when the animal depreciates, then what? Then the loss of the owner now is greater than what? Than the loss at the time that the damage was committed. So again, same shayla. So how do you evaluate the animal? Based at the time that the damage occurred, or based at the time when the animal comes before Beis Din? So Rashi, finished the Rashi, he says, So kafi nezek shebishas hamada b'din. Kafi nezek shebishas hamada b'din. Kedu amar lekamon. Fine. So the Gemara says, what do we do in that case? Kichesh kishas hamada b'din. So we'll say if the animal depreciates, we evaluate damage at the time when the animal is brought before a beis din. So we'll say, so if the animal appreciates, ultimately we go ahead and we assess damages at the time of damage itself. If it depreciates, we go ahead and we assess damages at the time when the animal comes before beis din. Shavach mazik. So we'll say, listen to this. What happens? I'm sorry. I lost the place here. I'm sorry. Good, I'm sorry. Shavach mazik. So we'll say, ultimately, again, if the damaging animal appreciates, Rashi says over shavach mazik, v'amad al dalad neos, no simo kishas hanezek. Ultimately, again, he pays as if the time of the damage. Kichesh, what happens if the damaging animal was weakened? So kishas hamada b'din. Ultimately, again, we go ahead and we go in accordance with when the animal is brought before beis din. Rashi says over kachash kishas hamada b'din. V'nosin lo chilek shmini shabo sheberushus kachash l'kaman parchash five. We'll explain that later on. Amar mar shavach mazik nosin kishas hanezek. So we'll say, Samar said, remember we said before, that if the damaging animal appreciates, so he only has to pay in accordance with the time, or in accordance with the value at the time of the damage. So money, whose opinion does this reflect? So Rabbi Shmuley, so we'll say, this goes back to our machlokis we saw yesterday. Remember again, there's a machlokis, Rabbi Shmuley and Rabbi Akiva, ultimately in how we view the damaged party's chilek in the animal. So money, Rabbi Shmuley, the Amar, balchofu, because we'll say, ultimately again, Rabbi Shmuley is of the opinion that the damaged party does not have an ownership interest in the damaging animal. Rather what? Balchov, he has a financial interest. In other words, he's a creditor. He's a creditor. He's owed money, but he has no direct financial interest in the animal itself. Therefore, again, vizuzihu demaskile, and he's only owed money. And therefore, again, Abbas say, in that case, that's why he doesn't really have a right to share in the appreciation, right? The appreciation of the damaging animal is not in any way shared by the damaged party, because he doesn't have a share in the animal. He has a financial debt against the damaging party. However, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa, Kichesh, if it appreciates, Kishas Hamada B'din, we look at the value of the animal at the time that it's brought before Beis Din. So whose opinion does that reflect? Asa'on Rabbi Akiva. Say, that would seem to reflect the view of Rabbi Akiva, because what is Rabbi Akiva? Da Amar Shutfininhu. Ultimately, again, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Lamaisa, again, the two people are Shutfim. If they're Shutfim, that's why he goes ahead and he shares, and that's why his valuation of damages is at the time, ultimately, again, that the animal is brought to Beis Din. To which the Gemara says, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel b'Seif Rabbi Akiva. Does that make sense to say that the Reisha of the Reis is Rabbi Shmuel and the Seif is Rabbi Akiva? To where we'll say, so again, understand stylistically, whenever we could avoid aligning one part of a Braisa or a Mishnah like one opinion, and the second part like a second opinion, we try to avoid that. To which the Gemara says, lo, kul Rabbi Akiva hi. In reality, again, the entire case is Rabbi Akiva. How so? V'hacha b'may askinon, what's the case over here? Kishepitmo. So we'll listen to this. Where the animal is being fattened up. And that's why, ultimately, again, that's why l'maisa, the animal appreciates. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, Actually, not yet, sorry. So the Gemara says, Ikishapitmo, if that's the case, that the animal is getting fattened up, Emoresha, so look at the first case of the Braisa, Shavach va'amad al-dal meos zuz, that if the animal appreciates and is now worth 400 zuz, no sin lo kishas hanezek. Ultimately, again, the damager only has to pay the damaged party with the value of the animal at the time the damage was done. So we'll say, if that's the case, that lamaisa, again, the damaged party ultimately is going ahead and fattening up the animal. So does it make sense to say that, of course, does the damager have to go ahead and pay in accordance with the new value of the animal? Of course not. The damager only has to pay in accordance with the value at the time of the damage. Amar Papa, Reisha Mishkach Lesla. So we'll say, no, the first case of the Braisa deals with the following situation. Bein de Patma Pitume, Bein de Shebcha Bameila. So we'll say, the Reisha is talking about a case where the animal either what? Where the animal was either actively fattened up, or it appreciated by itself. The Itztirich La'ashmo Inon, the Heicha de Shebcha Bameila, no sin lo kishas hanezek. And I will say, therefore, again, the teaching, the Braisa is necessary to teach me that when the animal appreciates on its own, see, I might have thought that it goes without saying that's what, that if the damaged party fattens up the animal, so obviously the mazik, doesn't have to pay in accordance with the newly appreciated value of the animal. The Chiddush case is where what? Where the animal appreciated on its own. So then how do we assess that newfound appreciation? To which the Braisa tells me that even when the animal appreciates on its own, the damager is only chayiv to pay damages in accordance with what? In accordance with the damages at the time of the nezek. So the Gemara says, Seifa, lo mishkachas la ela kishepatmo. But rather, again, the Seifa, the second case, must be talking about a case where what? And Rashi says over here, ki sheshor hamazik nispatim al yedei hamazik mishalim lo kishas hanezek. That I both say the second case, which is where the mazik is fattening up his animal. So lemaisa, again, in that case, same idea. The damages are only assessed not in accordance with the value of the damaging animal at the time now that it's appreciated, but rather again at the time of the damage. Kireish. So we'll say if the animal is weakened, so ultimately again, the animal depreciates. So we go in and we assess damage in accordance with the animal at the time when it's brought to Beis Din. So kichesh machmas mai. So how is the animal depreciating? Ilema dekachsha machmas malacha. If you want to say that it's because the nizak was working the animal, so leimalei at machachash va'ani ahevna. So could the mazik going to say to the nizak, you worked your animal and depreciated, so I should have to pay for that? To which the Gemara says, Amravashi tikichesh machas maka. They both say the case over here is where the animal depreciates as a result of what? As a result of the initial injury. The amralei, because the nizak could say to the mazik, karna the turach kabira bay. Your animal's horn is literally still stuck in my animal, which is another way of saying that the injury that my animal sustained at the hands of your animal still continues to depreciate the value of my animal. So we'll say, so bottom line, halacha lemaisa, the way we paskin is the following. Under normal circumstances, we say that damages are assessed when? At the time of the damage. B'shas ma'isa, time of the damage. The only exception to that rule, and therefore generally we don't take into account appreciation or depreciation. The only thing that changes that is when the damaged animal continues to depreciate as a result of the injury sustained. Under that circumstance, then we will in fact evaluate the damages based on what? Based on the time, based on what we call Shas Hamadas Bedin. So again, under normal circumstances, all damages assessed at the time damage is done, with the exception of that if the injured animal continues to depreciate, we will go ahead and take in, again, continues to depreciate as a result of what? As a result of the damage, then we will take that account, we will take that into account when assessing damages. Fine. Says the Mishnah. Shor Shav Masayim Shanagach Shor Shav Masayim. Suppose I sure that's worth 200 zuz. Gores, another sure that's worth 200 zuz. Ve'ein hanavela yafeklum. I will say now, in this case over here, let's assume that the damaged animal, or the animal that was killed, is worth nothing. The nevela is worth nothing. So what do you do in this case? Amar Rabbi Meir says, Al zeneemar es mefurish shapasuk, umachlu es ashar hachai, v'chatzu es kaspa. So the Torah says explicitly, what do you do with this, Rabbi Osai? You go in and you sell the living animal. And again, remember the assumption over here, this is talking about a case of tam. So in a case of tam, you're only paying what? You're paying chatzi nezek. So in a case like this, where the nevela, where the carcass of the injured animal is worth nothing, so Rabbi Meir says, what do? You take the live animal, you sell it, and you split the proceeds between the injured party and between the damager and the damaged party. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, v'chein halacha. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you're right. But however, kayamto umachru es ashar hachai. So we'll say, v'chatzu es kaspo. Rabbi Yehuda says, you have fulfilled one pasuk. In other words, the pasuk that you shall take the living animal and split it, that you have fulfilled. The lo kayamto, the gamas hameisi echetzun. But you have not fulfilled the pasuk that says that you should also split the value of the dead animal. We'll say, now understand, what Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda are arguing about, is, what is the paradigmatic biblical case? So Rabbi Meir says, the paradigmatic biblical case is where, animal worth 200 zuz, gore is another animal that's worth 200 zuz, the carcass kills it. Tam, carcass is worth nothing. Torah says, sell the living animal and split the proceeds. Rabbi Yehuda says, that's fine, that's correct, but that's only one half of the equation. Because remember, the Torah also speaks about what? Torah speaks about splitting the animal that's been killed. So the Gemara says, ve'ezozeh, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, what is the biblically paradigmatic case? Ve'ezozeh, shor shavim asayim, shor shavim asayim, if a shor worth 200 zuz, gourd, another shirt worth 200 zuz, v'hanavela yafeh chamishim. Oh, so we'll say, watch this. So shirt A worth 200 zuz, gourd, shirt B that's worth 200 zuz. Kills it. And now what? The nevela is worth, the carcass is worth 50 zuz. What do you do in this case? What's the halacha? Shezen notal chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. The zenotal chatzi achai v'chatzi ames. So Rabbi Huda says the biblically paradigmatic case of Osei is what? You sell both. You sell the living shar and you sell the carcass. And what will happen? Each party essentially will what? Will walk away with 125 zuz. They'll sell the living shar, which is worth 200. They'll split that, 100 each. They'll sell the carcass, which is worth 50 zuz, and then they'll go ahead and what? Get 25 each for that as well. That's the biblically paradigmatic case, says Rabbi Huda. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Shor Shavu Masayim. They both say, now, I know what you're thinking to yourself. You're thinking to yourself, that's not fair. Right? That's not fair. But both say, understand, it's not a question of fair. That's what the Torah prescribed for Tam. Remember, again, a Tam damager has a different set of halakos. The Torah says by Tam, you pay chatzi nezek. Again, you're right. So they say, zelo fair. But lamaisa again, that's what you're getting. Now, the difference over here is, you're actually getting a little bit more than half damages, because lamaisa again, what you're getting is, you're getting half of each of the animals involved in the incident. That's the novelty of Rabbi Yehuda. Chatzi nezek over here does not actually mean 50% of the loss sustained, but rather, again, it means 50% of the total collections from these proceeds. And the collections include, ultimately, again, the live animal as well as the dead animal. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanon, Shor Shavu Masayim Shenagach Shor Shavu Masayim. So if you have an ox that was worth 200 zuz, that Gordon ox that was worth 200 zuz, v'anaveli yafeh chamishim, and the carcass is worth 50 zuz, so zenotel chatzi achayev v'chatzi ames, v'zenotel chatzi achayev v'chatzi ames, v'zeh shara amar batara div Rabbi Yehuda. So again, I will say the Bryce is here just restating the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says the biblically paradigmatic case, shar worth 200 zuz grows, another shar worth 200 zuz kills it, carcass is worth 50 zuz, each party takes, they sell the living animal, sell the carcass, each party takes half of the proceeds of the living animal as well as the dead animal. Rabbi Meir says, Ein zeh shara amar batora. Ramir says, no, this is not the biblically paradigmatic case. What is the paradigmatic case? Ella, shar shavim asayim shenagach shel shar shavim asayim ve'ein hanaveli yafeh klum. Rabbi Meir says that the paradigmatic case of chatzi nezek, Rabosai, is what? Is where literally, again, where shar A is worth 200, gor shar B 200, kills shar B, and then what? The damaged party receives half of the value of the sold ox, which also happens to be half of the value of his ox when it was alive as well. That's why the Torah says you shall sell the living shor and you shall go ahead and split its proceeds. So again, understand, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda are arguing just on what is the biblically paradigmatic case of chatzi nezek. Rabbi Meir says the paradigmatic case is where the nevela is worth nothing and the two shvarim themselves are equal in value. Rabbi Huda says no, the biblically paradigmatic case where both shvarim are equal value and there is something left from the nevela. And chatzi nezek says you split everything. So now the question is, you, Rabbi Meir, according to you, so what do you do with the pasuk that says, and they shall also split? They shall also split the value of the dead animal, to which the Gemara says, Piches shepach sumisa machzin b'chai. So we'll say, ultimately, what we say is, look at Rashi just a moment, Pacha shepach sumisa, in Rashi, it's the third wide line, the end of the second wide line, begin, Pacha shepach sumisa machzin b'chai, kilomar, nevela lo sheicha gabi maziklal, ela shaman es hanevela, kama pechusin dameha achshav, mishar shayachai, v'nosein lo mazik chatzia pachas. Shabbos says, so according to Rabbi Meir, what that pasuk teaches me is the following. According to Rabbi Meir says that the damager never gets any part of the nevela. Rabbi Meir says, it doesn't make sense. Why would the damaged party be entitled to some type of proceeds from the nevela? Rather, what do? When assessing damage, we assess damages ultimately by assessing how much was the animal worth when it was alive, versus, again, how much is the animal worth now? And at least for a time, the damager will have to pay half of that value. So the Gemara says, Michti, Bein Rabbi Meir Ben Rabbi Yehuda, Hai Me'a Ve'esrim, Ve'chamisha Shakel. So Bosei asks the Gemara, okay, bottom line, according to Meir Rabbi Huda, you're going to have to pay the same amount. Right? You're going to have to pay the same amount. Meaning both are going to be entitled to the same amount. You're going to get the same 125 zuz at the end of the day. If that's the case, so Gemara says, I'm sorry, Bein Rabbi Meir, Bein Rabbi Huda, Hai Me'eva Esrim Chamisha Shakel, Hai Me'eva Esrim Chamisha Shakel. So we'll say at the end of the day, both are going to walk. According to Meir Rabbi Huda, the settlement amount is the same. The settlement will be 125 zuz per customer. My Bein Ayu. So we'll say, so what is the nafkamina between the two? So Gemara says, Amar Rava, Pachas Nevela Ikebena. Rava says, the difference is, Rabosai, is where there is a diminution in the value of the Nevela. Rabbi Meir Savar, Pachas Nevela, Denizekavi. So Rabbi Meir will say, Rabosai, listen, here's the interesting case. See, this all works fine in a case like this, where Shar A was worth 200, Shar B was worth 200, the Nevela is worth 50. So now again, you split everything, each walks through the 125. Let's say the Nevela depreciates. Who bears the loss of Nevela depreciation? Rabbi Meir Savar, Pachas Nevela de Nizakavi. Rabbi Meir holds that a Nevela depreciation is borne by the damaged party. Rabbi Huda Savar, Pachas Nevela de Mazikavi. Rabbi Huda holds that no, Nevela depreciation, ultimately, that loss is borne by the damager. Look at Rashi. Pachas Nevela, Impichsu Dameha Mishas Misa, Achas Mechira. Remember, this goes back to the previous sugya. The previous sugya, we established that what? When do we assess valuation for damages? At what point in time? When damages are done. Now understand, so you could, at the time the damages are done, let's say the Nevela is worth 50. Let's say, however, again, you don't get around to selling the Nevela till a day later. The Nevela market tanked. You know, Brexit, everything, you know, has an impact on everything. The Nevela market tanked, and now what happens? I can only sell a Nevela for 30 zuz. 30 zuz. So we'll say, so now again, here is the issue. At the time damages occurred, so the Nevela was assessed at 50, which means that the damaged party is entitled to a total of 125 zuz, but now you can only get 30 zuz on the market for Nevela. Who bears that loss? Says the Gemara, that's Machlokes Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Meir will say that ultimately, again, it's the damaged party that bears the loss. Rabbi Huda says it's the damager that bears the loss. So again, looking at Rashi once more. Pachas Nevela, Impichsu Dameha Mishas Misa. If the Nevela depreciates after the time of death, Achas Mechira, between the time of death and the time of sale, Rabbi Meir do Amar lo Shayach Mazik b'Nevela Pachas Dinizakavi. So what's the current Rabbi Meir who says that the Mazik, the damager, really has no rights in the Nevela? So ultimately, the depreciation of the Nevela is borne by the damaged party. V'lo yoyev le'elachatzi masha pachas misa. Ultimately, again, and therefore, again, I both say we will only give the Nizak the half of the value of the Nevela at the time the Nevela was sold. Amar le Abaye. So Abaye said, Im kein matzinu l'Rabbi Yehuda Tam Chamar Mimuad. So we'll say, therefore, it turns out, if you accept this premise, that Lamaisa ultimately, again, that the Pachas, the depreciation of the Vela is borne by the Mazik, then it turns out that you could have a situation of, we'll say, where what? Where Tam will be more Chamar than Muad. Now, how does that happen? Look at Rashi. Tam Chamar Mimuad, Tap Rashi, Amud Beis, Amud Dalam Beis, to Hagabe Muad, Amrina, and Parakamon, Bailim, Metaplin Benevela, Dixiva Mace Yellow, because remember, when it comes to Muad, so the owners ultimately, again, the owners of the animal, meaning the Nizak, they have to deal with the sale ultimately of the Nevela. They have to deal with the sale of the Nevela. Now, according to what Rabbi Huda just said that, and therefore, again, the assumption would be that any diminution in the value of the Nevela would be borne by the damaged party. What Rabbi Huda seems to be saying over here, that in the case of Tam, who bears the loss if there is a depreciation in Nevela, in carcass value? Rabbi Huda said who? The Mazik. So both say, the Gemara just pointed out, that's fascinating. So according to Rabbi Huda, he'll have a situation where Tam will be more Chamer than Muad. In a case of Muad, it's the damaged party who has to deal with the Nevela, and the damaged party who has to bear the loss of Nevela depreciation. In the case of Tam, Rabbi Huda is suggesting that it's the Mazik, it's the damager, who has to deal with the depreciation of Nevela. So what's going on over here? V'chitei ma'akenami, maybe you'll say, that is correct. In this respect, Tam is more chamer than Muad. Then in Tam, it's the Mazik who has to bear the brunt of Nevela depreciation. Whereas in Muad, It is the nizak. It is the damage party. So b'chitei mahachenami kedisnan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer tam chayiv umuat pater. Look at the Ashi Rabbi Osai. Hachenami. This is really tam chomer. Maybe you will say yes that there are certain aspects where tam is chomer. I'll give you another example of it. Tam muad. Rabbi Yehuda Omer tam chayiv. Umuad pater. Rabbi Osai. Now what's the case here? Look at Rashi. Rashi says Rabbi Yehuda Omer tam chayiv im shamru shmira pechusa. The Yatza Vehizik Potter. Again, we're going to discuss this case in Meretz Hashem later on in the Gemara, so we're not going to get into it now. Right now, I'll just tell you the case. The case of, bless you, the case is where somebody was watching a shor. So the halacha Rabbi Osai is, if a person watched the shor with what we call a Shmira Pechusa. Shmira Pechusa means it was a Shmira, it was a guarding, but what? It was a, what's the right term? Shmira Pechusa. I'm sorry? A deficient or inferior Shmira. So in other words, again, we will discuss exactly what this means, but the Maisa Rabbi Huda is on record as saying that Rabbi Osai, if you provided an inferior Shmira, deficient Shmira, for a Tam, you will be Chayiv, but yet for a Muad, you are Potter. And Rabbi Osai, without getting into the details of what this means, for our purposes, what does it give to us? It gives us a case where Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir by tam than he is by what? Than he is by muad. So Rabbi Osai, all we are. Oh, Dabbe, we're getting to the best part. Getting to the best part. You gotta go. Okay, fine. All right, so says the Gemara. It's almost Elul. I'll call you. I'll call you. That's Mechila for that. All right. So says the Gemara like this. So we'll say all we're trying to show over here is what is that? Lamaisa again. There is a case where tam is more chamer than muad, even though again that sounds counterintuitive, and therefore when Rabbi Yehuda therefore is on record as saying that lamaisa, if there is carcass depreciation, yes, in the case of tam it is the mazik who has to bear that. Yet in the case of muad, it is the nizak who has to bear that. And even though, again, that means you're being more machmir than tam than by muad, the Gemara just suggests that, yes, there are cases where Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir with tam than muad. All right, you're good. I'll see you later. So says the Gemara the following. Amar d'shamas Rabbi Yehuda le'inyan shmira. So we'll say maybe Rabbi Yehuda only holds that tam is more chamer than muad when it comes to matters of shmira, when it comes to matters of guarding. I will say, remember, we haven't even gotten into what this guarding case is yet. The Meretz Hashem, that's going to be the next parak. We're starting a new parak in Meretz Hashem tomorrow, actually the next day, Wednesday. So we'll say, maybe it's only by shmira where Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir ultimately again by tam, but by muad. But however, again, the chsidi kroy, because we'll see that there are psukim to support that. When it comes to repayment, when it comes to actual damages, so have we ever heard that Rabbi Yehuda is actually more chamer by tam than he is by muad? About Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda, listen to this. We learned Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, this is an interesting case. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yochel Shor Shav Emanas. Just pay careful attention to this. You have a shor that's worth a mana. A mana is 100 zuz. Shenaga Shor Shava Chamish Slaim. So a shor that was worth 100 zuz gored a shor that was worth 5 slaim. So just our conversion purposes, 5 slaim is 20 zuz. So you have a shor that's worth 100 zuz that gored a shor that's worth 20 zuz. Okay? V'hanadela yafes sela, and the carcass is worth 4 zuz. So damaging shor 100 zuz, damaged shor worth 20 zuz, and the shor that was worth 20 zuz is now only worth what? Only worth 4 zuz. So what's the halacha? Zen notel chatzei achayev v'chatzei ames. So we'll say, each party. So now what do they do in a case like this? You sell the damaging animal and you sell the carcass. And each party takes half of the damaging animal and half of the carcass. So the Gemara says, Zen notel chatzei achayev v'chatzei ames. V'zen notel chatzei achayev v'chatzei ames. So the Gemara says, 1 second. Amrit. V'chi muad lama yotze lahachmir alav olahakilav. So let's analyze this. When an animal is muad, so does a muad designation create a stringency or a leniency? To which the Gemara says, well, I would assume havi omer lahachmir alav. I would assume that it's in order to create a stringency. Uma muad eno mishalim elama shehizik. So I'll say, if the muad only pays what it damaged, tam hakal lo kol shekin. So I will say, tam, which is kal, all the more so. So therefore, I will say, now what's the point of this conversation? The point of this conversation is that you see that according to Rabbi Yehuda, when it comes ultimately again to tam designation, the point of the tam ultimately again is not to be machmir, but ultimately to be makel. To which the Gemara says, I'm sorry. Let me just say it differently. When it comes to Tam, ultimately, again, we will see that the point of When it comes to Mu'ad, which the assumption is Mu'ad is a more chamer designation, you only have to pay what you damaged. When it comes to Tam, all the more so, you only have to pay what you damaged. Ela Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, so if that's the case, that you only have to pay what you damaged, so Lemaisa, again, why would the Mazik be chayiv for nevela depreciation in the case of Tam damage? Remember, we'll say, this is all coming about because of one point. Rabbi Huda said before in Amud Aleph, that if the nevela depreciates in a case of Tam, it is the Mazik who bears that loss. Says the Gemara, I don't understand that. Because Rabbi Huda is on record as saying now that in general, if a Mu'ad, which is a more chamer designation, you only have to pay for what you damaged, then therefore what? A Tam, you should only have to pay for what you damaged as well. Therefore again, if Nevela depreciates, who should have to bear the loss of Nevela depreciation? The damaged party and not the Mazik himself. Because if you make the Mazik pay, if you make the Mazik responsible for Nevela depreciation, then it turns out that's what? Then the Mazik is paying for more than what he just damaged. To which the Gemara said, Rather, Rabbi Yochanan said the following. Rabbi Yochanan said, Shevach Nevela Ike Benayim. So we'll say, actually, the Nafkamina will be not in the case of Nevela depreciation, but rather what? Nevela appreciation. So watch this. The Marsava, Rabbi Meir holds the Nizakavi. Rabbi Meir holds that Rabosai, any Nevela depreciation that goes to the Nizak, that belongs to the damaged party. Umar Sava, Rabbi Hudi, on the other hand, holds Palga. Rabbi Huda holds that no, even Nevela depreciation ultimately is split. Vainu de Gakashi le Rabbi Huda, and this is the Gashkan of Rabbi Huda, Hashta de Amrit Chas Rachmana Iluye de Mazik, the Shakal Beshivcha. So we'll say now Rabbi Huda is going to say like this. If you say that the Torah ultimately has Rachmanis on the Mazik, on the damager, the Shakal Beshivcha, that ultimately, again, he has the right to take a portion in the Vela appreciation. So that's the case. So watch this. Yochel Shor Shavach Hamish Slaim. So we'll say, listen to this case. If a Shor that's worth 20 Zuz, 5 Slaim is 20 Zuz, Shenagach Shor Shavach Mana. So we'll say, now in this case, the tables are turned. The less expensive shor is the one, or the less valuable shor, is one that's goring the more valuable shor. So the damaging shor is worth 20 zuz. That damaged animal that was worth what? 100 zuz. Now watch this. Vanavela yata chamishim zuz, and the nevela now, the carcass is worth 50 zuz. Get ready. Ze notel chatzia chai vechatzia meis. So you'd be tempted to say, in this case, so again, each one takes half, this one takes half of the live animal, this one takes half of the dead animal, you sell off the live animal, you sell off the carcass, and each takes half. If you take this a logical conclusion, then what? Then the Mazik actually made money. Why, Rabosai? Because remember again, the Mazik has an animal that's worth what? That's worth 20 zuz. That Gordon animal that was worth 100 zuz, the nevela is now worth 50 zuz. So if you go ahead and you sell off the live animal, each gets 10. You sell off the nevela, each gets 25. It turns out that's what? That the Mazik walks away with 35 zuz. It's a good business, right? Mamish, right? He actually walks away with money. So the Gemara says, how could that be? So the Gemara says, Amrit, Heichan Matsinu Mazik Niskar, right? Where do we ever see a model where the Mazik is able to actually benefit from the damages? To which the Gemara says, Heichan Matsinu Mazik Niskar, So I'll say, ultimately, at the end of the day, do we ever see a case where we allow the damaged party to go out and benefit? Shazen Niskar. The Omer Shalim Yishalim. Yet the pasuk says Shalim Yishalim. Bailim Mishalmin Vein Bailim Notlin. So we'll say again the construct of damages is to say that what? That the owner, the damager, has to pay. But of course, again, the damager does not go ahead and receive. In other words, the damager is not supposed to financially benefit from the damages. So the Gemara says, "My va'omer." So what does that last piece mean, va'omer? So I might have said that what? Perhaps the only time where we say that the Mazik ultimately should not go ahead and benefit in any way is only when there's a loss to the Nizak. hapseda l'nizak. Rabbi said, in a case where there's no loss to the nizak, for example, kigon, shor shavach hamish sloim, where you have ultimately, again, a shor that was worth 5 sloim, right, 20 zuz, that gourd, another shor that was worth 5 sloim, 20 zuz, ta'anavela yafe, shloshim zuz. Rabbi said, now listen to this, here's an interesting case. There was such nevela appreciation, that's what Rabbi say, that the nevela literally became worth, was the nevela was worth more than the live animal. So the live animal is only worth 20 zuz. The nevela appreciates to the point that it was worth 30 zuz. So the Gemara says, I might have thought in that case, shakil nami mazik b'shivcha. So I might have thought Rabbi say, in that case, well, let's let the mazik share in the appreciation as well. And lemait, because why Rabbi say, in that case, by letting the mazik share, at the end of the day, what? At the end of the day, the nizak doesn't lose out. V'omer, shalim yishalim bailim, mishalim ve'in bailim notlim. So Rabbi say, in that case, again, lemait, we will say that no, it is only, in that case, shalim yishalim teaches me that, I'm sorry? No, so he'll have to pay for damages. Remember, he's always going to pay chatzi nezek of the value of damage. In other words, what we're going to see is that sometimes the mice, again, the value of damage is always going to be the difference between the value of the live animal versus the dead animal. Now, in the case, in the case where nevela appreciation has exceeded the value of the live animal, we'll discuss how to deal with that. But the Maisa, with the Gemara says, even before we discuss how to assess damages, one thing is clear, which is a mazik is never to come out ahead from the mas. So again, how we assess damages in that case remains to be seen. But Lamaisa Shalim Yishalim teaches me that just shut it off. Right? So at the end of the day, pull out the battery. So at the end of the day, Lamaisa again, you only pay if you're the mazik. You never go ahead and come out ahead. So again, Shalim Yishalim teaches me a construct, and the construct is that the mazik always pays. The mazik never walks away with anything. Now that being said, remember, the mazik does walk away with something. Because remember, again, this is the interesting model by chatzi nezek. The interesting model by chatzi nezek is the mazik walks away with something and the nizak walks away with something. The goal is that both mazik and nizak endure a 50% loss. But the idea is what the mazik walks away with can never be more than what the mazik entered into damages with. That's the idea. So it says the Gemara, Amar le Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, le Rava, im kematzino le Rabbi Yehuda, tam mishalim yotze mechatzi nezek. So interestingly enough, so now Rav Acha bar Tachlifa says to Rava, if that's the case, it could turn out that according to Rabbi Yehuda, that ultimately the damaged party would end up paying more than chatzi nezek. Take a look, Rabbi Yosai, at Rashi, which is a moment. Im kein matzino Rabbi Yehuda tam mishalim yotze mechatzi nezek. Im kein glodar Rabbi Yehuda pacha shepach so mimis misa machtzin bechai matzino betam mishalim yotze mechatzi nezek. So Rabbi Yosai, Rashi over gives the construct, ultimately the case, according to Rabbi Yehuda's logic, based on what we've said, it could turn out that the mazik could end up paying more than chatzi nezek. And yet, the Torah amra, machru es ha-shar ha-chai, v'chatzu es kaspo. So we'll say, yet the Torah says that you shall sell off the living shor, the living ox, and you'll split the monies, which indicates to us that lamaisa again, so ultimately damages of the damager are capped at chatzi nezek, to which the Gemara says, Isle Rabbi Yehuda, pachas shepecha samisa, machatzin b'chai. So we'll say, ultimately again, that Rabbi Yehuda has the case. We said this before, where Lamaisa, again, at times, what we will do is, we will take the difference between the value of the living animal and the value of the animal as it is now, and we'll split that. In other words, there are certain times where, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that will become the valuation, ultimately, for Chatzi Nezek. So Menale, where do we know this from? We learn this out from the pasuk that says, and also the dead animal they will split the value from. So the Gemara says, "Mi v'gamas amesi achatzon va'afkid Rabbi Yehuda lezen notal chatzia chay v'chatzia meis v'zen notal chatzia chay v'chatzia meis." But according to Rabbi Yehuda, we'll say we use that pasuk to teach us that each, both the mazik and the nizak, both get to take what? Half of the living animal, half of the dead animal. So how can you use the pasuk to teach me this other situation? To which the Gemara says, "Imkei nichtov kra v'es hameis." If that's the case, the pasuk that just said ve'esanes, my v'gam, what does the word v'gam come to teach me? Shma mina tarti. Therefore, again, Rabbi Yosef means what? Teach me. Comes to teach me both of these halachas. So Rabbi Yosef, bottom line, halacha l'maisa comes out of here is the following: when it comes to damages of a tam, so Rabbi Yosef, the way we assess damages of a tam ultimately is chatzi nezek, and the way chatzi nezek often is assessed is we sell off both the living animal as well as the carcass, and both of the parties walk away with half of the living animal as well as half of the carcass. The halacha clearly indicates that the mazik is never to make more money than the value of half of the damages in which he incurred. And therefore, the maisa, again, under those circumstances where because of the valuations of the animals involved in the damage, the mazik would walk away with more money, the halacha does not allow that, and therefore, again, will reevaluate damages in a different way. Says the Mishnah, Yesh chayv al maisa shoro, patra al maisa atzmo. So we'll say there are times, what the Mishnah is going to say is the following. There are times where the same act yields different results depending on who did it, right? If I did it, it yields one result. If my shor did it, it yields a different result. So yesh chayv amaisa shoro patra amaisa atzmo. There are times where if my shor did something, I, the owner of the shor, be chayv. But yet if I did it myself, I would be patr. And there are times, patra amaisa shoro v'chayv amaisa atzmo. There are times where if my shor does something, I will be pater. But if I do that same act, I will be chayiv. What's the case? Ketzad, shoro shebiyesh pater. Bosa, if my shor was mevayish someone. Bosa, now what does that mean, right? My shor called someone a name. So first of all, take that shor on the road, right? So the idea is over here, we'll see that when it comes to busha, when it comes to, remember that there is a category of damages for busha, for humiliation, which means there are certain objective acts that are done that humiliate an individual. So the halacha is, if my shor does something to someone that is a humiliating act, my shor is not chayiv for busha. On the other hand, vahushe biyesh chayiv. The Arba say, if I do something that humiliates someone, I am chayiv ultimately again for damages for busha. Similarly, shor shesimes ein abdo vepilu eshino. If my shor goes ahead and blinds the eye of my eved or knocks out the tooth of my eved, pater. And I will say pater means that there's no damages done. We'll see what pater means, but let's assume for now there are no damages owed to the eved. Not only that, but more importantly, what? The eved does not go free. The eved does not go free. But yet I, if the owner of the Eved, knocked out the tooth or the eye, say that's one of the ways in which what? That's one of the ways in which the Eved automatically goes free. Next. If my shor, chas v'shalom, injures my mother or my father, the halacha is I am chayiv to pay damages to my parent. If I injure my parent, I am pater for damages. Why am I pater for damages? Because remember again, if a child chas v'shalom strikes a parent, there's a chiyuv misa. There's a death penalty for that. So remember again, we've learned already before that whenever the same act generates dual liability, one for financial liability, one for capital liability. So the capital punishment always sets aside the financial liability. So if my shor injures my parents, I'm chayv to my parent damages. If I chas v'shalom injure my parents, it's someone intentionally, I am parted from damages because I am liable to a death penalty. Shoro shehidlik es hagodish b'shabbos. Similarly, both say, if my shor lights my friend's field on fire on Shabbos, chayiv, I am chayiv to pay for damages. But who shehidlik es hagodish b'shabbos? But both say, if I light my friend's field on Shabbos, if I light my friend's field on fire on Shabbos, then what? Putter. I am putter. Why? Because at the end of the day, I've done something that is a capital offense, and therefore the maisa again, because I'm chayiv misa, I am putter for tashlumin. Says the Rambam. Let's just do two more lines. Tani Rabbi Yavo, kamed Rabbi Yochanan, kalam akalkalin peturin, chutz michova umavir. Now, boss, that's an interesting halacha. The Gemara says, when it comes to Shabbos, the most important thing is what's called meleches machsheves. Meleches machsheves means that on Shabbos you are only chayiv for constructive activity, not for destructive activity. That's why, for example, anything on Shabbos that you do as a form of kilkul, that is destructive in nature, you are patr. When we say patr, by the way, whenever we say patr, that's halacha Shabbos, patr usually means patr aval asr, meaning there's no biblical liability, but it's still going to be rabbinically prohibited. So the Gemara says, whenever it comes, anything destructive on Shabbos is potter, chutz michovel umavir, with the exception of what? Of injuring someone, chovel, injuring someone, and mavir, ultimately lighting something on fire. They're both saying, now the act of injuring someone or lighting something on fire, by definition is what? Or by definition, are destructive acts. Right? They're kilkul. But even though they're kilkul, the Gemara is going to suggest, I should say Rabbi Abba is suggesting for Rabbi Yochanan, that you're still chayav for these on Shabbos. Amarlei, puk tani libra. The both say, to which Rabbi Yochanan responds, Rabbi Abba, get that out of here. The both say, get that out of here. As, in other words, literally take those teachings out of the base medrash, which is a nice way of saying what? Nice. Well, it's not a nice way of saying anything, right? It's saying that's ridiculous. Why don't you go teach that on the street corner? Torah like that does not belong in the base medrash. I will say, by the way, just as an aside, you know, sometimes you see Puk Tani Libra, like you wonder to yourself, like, is that, if a Rebbe said that to my child, like, I'd be horrified. You know, that's not the right way to talk to, you know, isn't, so I will say, so just teach on the sense, so why did they talk like this? So understand, there is, I've said this before, you know, Rav Pam Zecher Tzadik Livracha said that the worst word in the English language is whatchamacallit. The worst word in the English language. Why? Because if a person says whatchamacallit, it means that they did not properly think before they're uttering their words. And if I'm said, the worst thing a person could do is think without properly speaking. When you see exchanges like this, what Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Rabbi Avo was, don't open up your mouth in the base medrash unless you fully thought through what you're going to say. And I both said, this is an incredible yisod. You know, we live in an age of literal, you'll excuse this expression, but like verbal diarrhea. People need to speak about everything, right? Oh, let me tweet what I had for dinner. Let me Facebook what I'm doing. No one cares. No one cares what you ate for dinner. No one cares where you're going with your family. You should have a wonderful time. You do not need to share it with the world. The notion that we need to share every single last ridiculous piece of information, understand what that does is it waters down the filter for actually thinking before you speak. So people say stuff, they post stuff, they tweet, they blog, they WhatsApp, they do whatever, and it's the most nonsensical, ridiculous narishkeit. And understand, besides the fact that it's ridiculous bittelsman, the amount of time that people spend following other people's ridiculous, inane, stupid information, excuse me, it drives me crazy. In addition to that, what it does is it waters down your filter about thinking before you speak. So this exchange I will say over here, which Rabbi Yochanan is saying to Rabbi Avo, I expect more from you. If you're going to say something in the base medrash, I expect you to think it through. And if you're not going to think it through, I'm about to be removed from all the WhatsApp groups. I know, I see that over here. I know. I'm not about any WhatsApp group in particular. I want to be clear. I'm looking down. I'm not looking at anyone. So the idea I'll say is, Rabbi Avo is saying to Rabbi Yochanan, listen, if you're going to say something, I'm just asking you ultimately, again, to think about it before you say something. So listen to this. Let's just finish the both side. So I'm like, Puk Tani Libra, Chovel Umavir, Eino Mishnah. And Shabbos, you know what, we'll stop over. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this Gemara tomorrow. So we're picking up Emirat Hashem with the distinctions between individual liability versus personal liability. I'm sorry. I'm going to go to, if you don't mind tweeting it. If you don't, can you tweet it? I'll let her eat that.